In the name of Jesus, amen. Why the long gospel reading? Well, today we take in the big picture all at once. It is the passion of our Lord to save you from your sin. The passion of our Lord to rescue you from death. This is the fulfillment of his mission. This is why he was conceived and born of the Blessed Virgin. This is why the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. St. Paul summarizes the day, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When the crowds greeted Jesus that Sunday morning with palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they're treating him as the Messiah King. They remember the prophet Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." They remembered Psalm 118 and the victorious king riding into Jerusalem. "Hosanna, O Lord, save us, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, they're expecting the revolt to begin. King Jesus has come to his city, and now is the time for holy war. The air was heavy with anticipation, crackling with danger. The religious leaders noticed. The Romans felt the unrest too. God was finally going to vindicate his people, liberate them from Roman rule, and establish his kingdom of heaven on earth. But no one could have anticipated how this holy war was really going to play out. No one could have guessed how this Messiah King would save his people. Betrayed, judged, beaten, crucified. This isn't the world's idea of a messianic holy war, nor is it ours. But that's exactly what the passion of our Lord is, a holy war against sin, against death, and the devil, against the law that convicts and kills. And only God in the flesh can fight it. Judas betrays our Lord, and it would never be forgotten. We remember his sordid but necessary action every single week on the night when he was betrayed. A disciple from the inner ranks rats out his master for a few bucks. And our Lord permits it. All for your sake. All to save you. Jesus celebrates the Passover one last time. And he gives what was never given before at the Passover table, his body, the broken bread, his cup, his blood, the cup of wine poured out. Even before the sacrifice, they share in the blessing, because this sacrifice reaches back to the very beginning and forward to the very end, one time for all time, one death for all deaths, one death for you. And so Jesus goes to the garden to pray. Heavy with sorrow, burdened by your sin, he crumbles to the ground, praying that there's another way. But there is no other way. He is the chosen lamb. He is the unblemished sacrifice. The great I Am has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is betrayed. He is tried by the religious court. He is pronounced worthy of death. Peter, the leader, the one who said he would rather die than fall away, denies even knowing Jesus three times. And so Jesus stands before Pilate, the King of Kings, before a minor Roman official. Pilate even tries to negotiate his way out of it, but there is no way out. He offers a terrorist in exchange, Barabbas, but the crowd calls for Jesus. The terrorist goes free. The innocent, unblemished lamb goes to his death. So they dress him in royal purple. They press a crown of thorns into his head. Thorns, the sign of God's wrath, a curse upon the earth. Jesus, cursed for you. And he takes it because he is the world's Savior. Because the world cannot save itself. At 9 a.m, the third hour, they crucified him in Golgotha. The hour is important, as is the place, because this is history. It's not myth. It's not legend. History has a time. History has a place. So here, in his hour of glory, when he comes into his kingdom, two thieves flank him. James and John wanted to be on Jesus' right and his left when he came into his glory. They had no idea that this is what they were asking for. Everything that is said of this crucified Jesus is true, even when it's said in mockery. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Christ. He is the King of Israel. And at his death, the centurion in charge says, "Truly, truly, this was the Son of God." And that's the greatest truth of all. Dead on his cross, Jesus is most King, most Christ, most Son of God for you. From noon to 3, it was as dark as night. And that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the darkness, Jesus, the light of the world, prays Psalm 22, the prayer of the God-forsaken King. That's what you and I deserve, to be forsaken by God. God our Father would be perfectly justified in turning his back on you. But instead, he turns his back on his only begotten Son. Jesus drinks the bitter cup, the sour wine of your sin and his Father's wrath, and he shouts one last cry in his dying breath, an echo of all the exorcisms that Jesus performed. In his death, the devil is undone. The temple curtain that hid the most holy place is torn open from top to bottom, as the heavens were torn open at Jesus' baptism, God and man face to face, reconciled, your sin forgiven. Paradise stands open to you through the doorway of a wooden cross painted with the blood of the Lamb. And all of this is here for you. Here for you in your baptism. Here for you in the words of absolution. Here for you in the body and blood of Christ in his supper. This is the passion of our Lord to save you. Amen.